we would turn for just a little moment or two to the Word of God, just to consider as enabled some words that are found in the Psalm 116 and the verse 12. Psalm 116 and the verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? This certainly was a question that the psalmist was asking himself. He had experienced the Lord's gracious dealings with him, and he is here when he considers the Lord's goodness to him. He's asking, well, in light of all that the Lord has done for me, what shall I render unto him for all his benefits toward me? You can see in the context of the psalm that the psalmist experienced tremendous adversities, so much so that he even speaks of the sorrows of death in verse 3, compassing him about. The pains of hell, he said, got hold on me. And so on. In verse 10, he says, I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. And yet he doesn't say, what shall I render unto the Lord in light of all my afflictions? He says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Because he's able to see by faith, and he's able to recognize that the Lord's mind was toward him for his good, to benefit him spiritually. And he is seeing that even in adversity and in afflictions, in great afflictions, that the Lord was good and the Lord was gracious, and he was benefiting, he was profiting from the way and the manner in which the God of providence had wrought with him. And the question that he asked, with just briefly, we may note that it is, first of all, a question of reflection and wonder. He's reflecting, you see, on the Lord's dealings with him. He has been considering the Lord's dealings with him. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? And so often, we don't ask any questions such as this because we don't sufficiently consider the Lord's dealings with us. On an occasion like this, we see the benefit and the treasurer coming and giving us the figures for another financial year, and the income and the expenditure and the various ways in which and directions the money has come and gone and so on. And we think about these matters. And as we do, we then conclude, well, the Lord has been good. He has met our needs. He has supplied our needs. But we ought to do this as individuals as well, not just as a congregation. Look back on every year. And there are milestones along life's journey that cause us to stop and reflect on life, how far we've come and what we've experienced as we've traveled along life's journey. And surely every one of us must see in all our providences the hand of God. If we do not, we must be extremely spiritually blind. Every one of us here should be able to discern the Lord's hand and the Lord's wisdom in his dealings with us. And we should be able to recognize, as the psalmist does here, that the Lord is gracious. Verse 5, he says, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Not just is he gracious, but he is righteous, which means he always does everything right. Everything is perfectly judged according to the wisdom of God to be profitable. Now, you and I very often think we're pretty wise, you see, and we think, well, I think I would be a better person spiritually. I would make more progress spiritually if this would happen or that would happen, or if this hadn't happened or something else hadn't taken place. And yet the psalmist says, gracious is the Lord and righteous. He does everything perfectly right. He does it all perfectly wisely, because his purpose in it is for my benefit. He's working everything together so that I might improve spiritually, that I might grow in grace as one of his children, that I would be making progress in my knowledge and understanding of him. Now, if we were to look at the statement tonight and we were to see the figures suggesting to us, well, we're in great debt at the end of the year. We haven't really had our needs met. Something has gone wrong. There's been money wasted. We haven't used the income that we've had wisely, and we've wasted, and now we have to lament. We're in debt and we're in trouble. Now, when we would face a situation like that, if we did, well, wouldn't we automatically be thinking, well, we will have to make changes, we will have to change our attitudes, we will have to change the direction perhaps in which we spent money and whatever else. Now, when we reflect then upon the Lord's dealings with us spiritually, we might have to sometimes face up to the reality that we have wasted some of the experiences that ought to have profited us instead of developing spiritually in certain circumstances and under certain providences. We have gone backwards instead of forwards. We have become less spiritual rather than more spiritual. We have become more disturbed rather than learning more to wait upon the Lord. We have not made the progress that we ought to have made. You see, that's why it is important that we do reflect on the way that the Lord deals with us, and then ask ourselves, well, under God's hand, have the results been good? Have I really made spiritual progress? The psalmist says here, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. And he's looking back and he's thinking of this. I was brought low, he says, and all I could do was cry unto the Lord, and I did. But he heard my voice, and to the psalmist, this is a great wonder. Verse 2, he says, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live, because he heard my unworthy cry. It has encouraged me. I will continue to call on the Lord. No matter how unworthy I might feel myself to be, because I know with certainty the Lord heard me, and the Lord inclined his ear to my poor cry. It's a great encouragement. It's a great incentive for me to call upon the Lord evermore, to call upon him as long as I live, as long as I have breath in my body. I will call on the Lord. I won't go looking for help here and there and turn to this resource and that resource. I will turn to the Lord, because I've learned from experience. I've learned as I reflect and as I think upon the Lord's dealings with me. He's very gracious. He's very gracious. He's very long-suffering. He's very patient. And he has a good purpose and a good intention in his dealings with me. But then the psalmist, not only when he asks this question, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits to me, is also, we might see, a question of desire and devotion, because it's very obvious that he's grateful, he's thankful to the Lord, and in the light of all the Lord's goodness, he's asking, well, what shall I render to him? It's as though he's asking, how do I repay God? How do I repay the Lord for his goodness to me? What shall I render unto the Lord? It is like in normal human society, you might find in certain circumstances, a neighbor or a friend, they will come along and what you would consider to be a good turn, they will do you a good turn, and then you will hope for an opportunity perhaps to repay them and do something when they need help to repay them, as it were. And that's what the psalmist has in mind. But of course, he knows that he can never repay. What could he, out of his little resources, what could he ever do to repay the Lord for what he has done? And that's what the child of God knows. They have it in their heart. They appreciate what the Lord has done for them, and they will be asking, what shall I render to the Lord? But then they know there's nothing they could render that would ever compensate, that would ever pay, or anywhere come near to repayment for what he has done for them. When they think of the Lord's goodness, even in their providences, in life, from birth to now, how many things they have reason to thank the Lord for. He, the psalmist in this very psalm, he speaks of his earthly relationships. In verse 16 he says, O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. I am thy servant and I am the son of thine handmaid. What's he referring to? What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? And here he's speaking of the fact he's the son of one of the Lord's handmaids. The great blessing of a godly mother. The great blessings that come with grace in the domestic circles. And even tonight, the children should be able to thank the Lord that they are the children of Christian parents. And some who are older, if they were thinking tonight of the various benefits and life they've had, some of you here will be able to thank God for that great blessing of a devoted, praying, godly mother. I am thy servant, the son of thine handmaid. I've been blessed domestically. I've been blessed in my very birth. And how many of you have been blessed here in your birth? You think of many your own age. They're in a lost eternity tonight. And many your own age who you knew in childhood, they were not blessed with the gospel in their homes. They were not blessed with parents who cared for their souls, who prayed for them, who took them to the means of grace, who read the scriptures to them, and so on. The psalmist has many, many blessings that he's considering as from the Lord, and he's desiring to show his gratitude. But how can he ever do it? How could you and I ever demonstrate truly our gratitude for the love of God in providing a Savior? The love of God in Christ Jesus dying the just for the unjust. The atonement made for sin. The great curse of the law upon every one of us as we come into this world by nature. Though we might be blessed with blessings in our homes and in our families, yet by the very fact we are the children of Adam's race, we are sinners by nature and practice. And we have reason to be thankful to God that we're not deserted to the natural inclinations of our own human hearts to destroy ourselves. That God has in mercy wrought upon us and kept us from destroying ourselves. That's the fact. Not one of us here this evening have anything to glory in. We can't point the finger and say, I'm better than him or better than her. We know we're not. And all we can say at the end of the day is like the Apostle Paul, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And if grace were to be removed, where would we be? We might be in a lost eternity tonight if grace had not found us and grace had not preserved us. And we have great reason to be thanking the Lord, to be praising him, that he has not dealt with us as we deserve. But then the psalmist said, well, what shall I render to the Lord? And then he says, I will take the cup of salvation. You would expect he would say, I will give. But he doesn't. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? And you would expect he's thinking of giving something. Instead he says, I will take the cup of salvation or the cup of blessing. I will take the cup of blessing and I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will bless the Lord. I will praise the Lord. That's all I can do. But that is what pleases God and that's what glorifies God. I will just take the cup of blessing and I will bless the Lord. I will praise his name that in spite of all my unworthiness, he has remembered me with that love that he bears to his own. And he says in verse 17, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. It's as though the psalmist is appreciating this. All God's gracious dealings with me have been for the purpose of enabling me and encouraging me to call evermore upon his name. That's what pleases God, to find his children coming to him with their needs, with their concerns. That glorifies him, just as a parent appreciates the little child coming and asking for help and looking for encouragement or comfort or whatever else. So the Lord loves his children to be coming to him with an appreciation of his fatherly heart, his fatherly affection for his children. And so the psalmist says, what shall I render unto the Lord? Well, all I can do is just thank him. That's all he requires of us, of his children, to thank him and receive with gratitude what is profitable for them. But then, just finally, the question that the psalmist asks is a question of love and affection. It's out of love that he's asking this question. Why? He begins the psalm, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. But then you might be expecting the psalmist, well, I love the Lord because he's been good to me and he's blessed me materially. I love the Lord because he's given me such a comfortable life and he's bestowed every material earthly blessing and benefit upon me. And I love him because he's been so kind and benevolent and my life is just full of sunshine. I love the Lord because he heard my voice and my supplications when the sorrows of death took hold on me, when I was sore afflicted. I love the Lord for his wisdom in my afflictions. I love the Lord for his providential care for me, because he is righteous and he knows what I need and he knows why I need it and he knows what's best for me. And nothing happens by chance. That's the wonder that that is what the Puritans drew their strength so much from. The fact they knew God was in everything, even in the little details of life. They maybe didn't understand any more than Job did what was going on. Job was mystified by many things in his life. But he said this, I know he knoweth the way that I take, because he's planned it. Every step of it, the rough with the smooth, he's planned it all. He knows the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He knows the way that is best to train me. He knows the way that is best to mature me. He knows the way that is best to develop his graces in me as his child. He knows the way that I take, and there's a purpose in it. It's not just that I'll wander around aimlessly. And sometimes people, the Lord's poor people, they are troubled and they're thinking, well, what is the reason for this and that? And it might even seem unreasonable. It doesn't seem to make any sense. But it always does. There is a purpose in it. He knoweth the way that I take. He planned it. He purposed it. And if he take just like the children of Israel, he took them through the wilderness rather than directly into the promised land, because there were experiences in that wilderness that they needed. And my dear friends, that's what the child of God by grace is constantly saying. Well, I don't understand this, but God knows I need it. That's the way of peace in the soul. I don't understand it, but I know God knows. And he knows I need it, and I want to learn from it. I don't want this experience to pass, and I'll not be improved. I want to improve. I love the Lord because he heard unworthy me calling in my distress, and he answered. And the psalmist is wondering at this, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Oh, that he would incline his ear unto others is wonderful, but unworthy me that he would incline his ear to me. That's the great wonder of the psalmist. The psalmist who had to cry out as a guilty sinner, purge me with hyssop, cleanse me, sprinkle the blood upon me, forgive my sin, and so on. Unworthy me, yet he inclined his ear unto me. And where does that lead us to? That leads us to the great blessings that are in the mediator, the advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ, the great high priest, why does he incline his ear? Because there is one who's truly worthy. And this is what we must never forget. The intercession of the great Redeemer himself. What did he say of Peter? I have prayed for thee. I have prayed for thee. Peter must have wondered many and many a time. Those words would come back to him. He would hear them constantly in his mind. I have prayed for thee. I have prayed for thee. That thy faith fail not. And he would understand this. If he had not prayed, I was finished. If he had not prayed for me, I was facing ruin. I would have perished. And that's the great blessing that we ought to be taken up with. What shall I render unto the Lord for his benefits toward me? What could we ever render to the Lord for the benefit of having one within the veil unceasingly praying for us? Whatever our circumstances as his children, he never ceases to pray for his own. And what could we ever render by way of thankfulness for such a blessing? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And he's in control of everything. And you and I, you know, you hear even Christians speak of accidents. There aren't any accidents in the life of a child of God. How can there be? What we call accidents are the result of what we consider our own blunderings or the blunderings of someone else. But God doesn't have any accidents. The Savior never is involved in any accidents. He's it all ordered wisely. And he prays the Father to send the Holy Spirit to teach us through our experiences. And that's what we need, the Holy Spirit to enlighten us and to work and operate on the faculties of our souls so that we do mature and we do make progress. And that's the question then that we should ask this evening. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Could we ever count them? Could we even begin to count them? All his benefits. All his benefits. Have you ever sat down and tried to, at the end of a day, say, well, now what benefits? If you took out a sheet of paper tonight and a pen and you started this morning and you went through the hours of the day to the evening and you would write down every benefit. These are the benefits that I have had from the Lord's hand toward me this day. My, what benefits we would be writing down that we ordinarily wouldn't perhaps think about. And we would be amazed how indebted we are at the end of a day because of all the benefits he has bestowed upon us. But it was stated in the prayer earlier, to whom much is given, from them shall much be required. And we have many, many benefits, materially and spiritually. And even if we were to think tonight, well, I'm not really in a converted state. I'm not sure that I'm actually in a state of grace. I don't know. The very fact you're here this evening Isn't that a benefit? Isn't that something to be thankful for? What shall I render? It would be good for us to, if we were going home from this meeting this evening with that question, thinking about it and considering the Lord's goodness to us. May bless His word.